Here's the Fan.
Stone show last night, big boy?
No, I did not. It would have been great to go see him play.
Yeah. I had a chance to go, and I couldn't. And I regret that I didn't make amends and find a way to go.
Yeah, you know, once football season starts, I get the blinders on sometimes. I just want to watch football. I was like, what? The Suns are in town? How did I miss that? You know, one of those bits. But I did see them years ago when they played at the X.
Ooh.
And a Buddy Guy opened for him, which was awesome.
Buddy Guy, the guitar player?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? How old was he? 85?
Yeah, probably about that time, yeah.
Damn, Buddy Guy, man. Yeah. I mean, it's like, what do you got? You got Eddie Van Halen. You got some of the great guitar players, Jimmy Page.
Yeah, Buddy Guy's definitely one of the top living guitarists.
In the history of the world.
Well, history, yeah. If you just talk about living guitarists.
Yeah.
Clapton's up there.
Oh, yeah.
Carl Santana's up there.
Yeah.
Buddy Guy's up there.
Yeah.
I don't know who else. You know, it depends on your preference.
G.E. Smith.
Jeff Beck. I don't know. John Bonamassa. You know, there's some really heavy guys out there who are really talented. So, but Buddy Guy opened at the X. Everybody around me was smoking weed. and I remember Buddy Guy came out in the middle of the Stone set and played with them. I swear to God, they had to keep up with him. He came out on fire.
Wow.
On fire. It was outstanding.
Oh, Mick and Keith brought Buddy Guy out to their show to let him shred?
Yes.
Damn.
Yep.
That's nice, man. And that's a lot of respect right there, too. I mean, it's immortality all up and down this thing.
Yep.
Before we get to the lesson in hand, knowing the fascination, adoration, and or enjoyment you and Mad Producer pull from the world of soccer, I believe it behooves us to recognize a worldly atopic. I can't say his last name, but Ole Gunnar
Solskjaer
is fighting to save his job after Man U lost 5-0 to Liverpool. And some of the stars, reportedly including Cristiano Ronaldo, are getting their backbiting snipe on.
Yeah.
And he may be out. Wow. How big is that as the worldly atopic?
It just kind of ripped the scab off the wound, man, because they've had some problems all year with linkage between the defensive and the midfield positions. They've got attackers who aren't communicating to each other. Apparently, Ronaldo thinks that one of his fellow attackers isn't passing the ball enough. And the other guy's like, look, I want to get mine. And the gaffer has been unable to make all that stuff cohesive. And they've had some embarrassing losses. God, they lost to a small team called Young Boys in like Champions League play there a few weeks ago. Yeah. Yeah, actually, Young Boys has an American on that roster named Jordan Pefock.
Yeah.
And he scored the goal in stoppage time.
Pefock, though.
Yeah, make my fock to peak.
Well, why is immortality like Manchester United playing something called the Young Boys?
Well, it's Champions League. It's a continental tournament throughout Europe. All these club teams in Europe, starting off with the big boys, the Blue Bloods. It's kind of like the NCAA tournament. You've got the Blue Bloods. Like Chelsea, Juventus, Real Madrid.
Aston Villa.
Arsenal, yeah. They're in this bit, and they also have like lower level teams from like the Swiss league, the Dutch league, the Belgian league, you know, who are in there as well. And so they go to the group stage, and they get out of group stage, and there's knockout stage, you know, not knockout stage, but it's more of a home bit. So it's a really popular tournament. It generates a lot of money. A lot of the smaller teams rely on Champions League money to survive.
Yeah.
And it's watched all over the world. The Champions League final is always packed at Brits whenever it occurs. So it's a big deal because you usually end up having a Manchester United, Bayern Munich matchup or a Real Madrid, Chelsea matchup, you know. So, but this is just the early stages of that. And sometimes upsets happen. So, but Ole's been taking some heat here. Barely getting by and not having this team playing at the level people think they should be playing at. They added Cristiano Ronaldo right before the season, and he's come on and done some good things, but there's been some issues, you know, and it looks like he's in trouble. So we'll see if he's going to survive this or not.
Speaking of the beautiful game.
Is Nordy here?
USA women's soccer is at Allianz tomorrow.
Yes, they're playing South Korea. This is South Korea actually tied the U.S. women about a week and a half ago. It's like ended the USA women's winning streak at home, I believe. This is also the final game of Carly Lloyd's career. She is a mainstay on the U.S. women's national team, has had many outstanding individual performances throughout her career. I think she's one of the most capped players in the world. I think she's appeared for the USA women over 300 times in her career.
Wow.
So, she's just been she's been like the guiding light for this team for years. And she is calling it quits here. So tomorrow is her last match, and she'll be available today in a conference call. So we get to listen to some of her views on her career and where the team and the women's soccer is headed. So it's going to be pretty neat to have a USA national team, men, regardless if it's men or women, to have a USA national team playing at our soccer stadium.
The word relegated was used in the previous topic, and there is absolutely no relegation that should take place with these Braves and Eddie Rosario, the former Twin. I mean, seriously, you talk about catching new life. Three home runs against the Dodgers, man. He's the identity of the series. Oh, and he's in the World Series now, Eddie Rosario.
Happy for Eddie. You know, he's an acquired taste. He can be Manning. I don't think he takes well to coaching at times. I think he reached the end of his rope a little bit with the Twins there, and the Twins decided that he's due for arbitration. He's going to make $10 million. They see a $10 million player, and they said no. Okay, before they can release him, they put him on waivers.
Yeah.
All the 2019s passed on Eddie, so they had the same opinion. We don't want to take his arbitration case on. So he became a free agent, signed with Cleveland. Was horrible with Cleveland. Ended up getting dealt with the Braves and kind of revived his season.
Yeah.
And now he got into the postseason, and he's been a monster. And now he's in the World Series. It's awesome. And in a year in which there's been so many ex-Twins at every level of this playoffs, and you get to the World Series, and you got Ari Adrianza and Eddie Rosario on the Braves trying to win the World Series against the Houston Astros, who have Ryan Pressly, Jason Castro, and I believe Marwin Gonzalez signed with Houston after Boston let him go.
Crazy.
Although I don't know if he's been put on the playoff roster yet.
Well, about Mattress Mack, you know who he is?
Oh, that's the guy who always has the offers. Yeah. If the Astros win the World Series, you're
still Robert McElvain.
Yeah.
This is one of the bigger, if not biggest, bettors I've ever met in my life. And I met him. And I can't remember where I met him, but he owns horses. Okay. No, I didn't meet him. I was talking to his trainer about it.
Oh.
And he had a couple of horses run at Canterbury this summer, and one or two of them won. But, you know, like the odds, man, 4 minutes to post, 4-1. 3 minutes, 4-1. 2 minutes, 3-1. Then, and they're racing, they leave the gate. That sucker's like 2-5 because Mattress Mac rolled in, cut open the mattress, pulled out all the cash, bet his horse to win, and just drove those odds down, man. Mattress Mac.
That's hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious. But he's done this there. I think he's done this for the Astros. In the World Series. Yeah, I think other Houston teams, too. I think he's thrown that offer there if they win the championship.
He put $10 million or up to $10 million on the Astros to win the World Series the year they won the World Series. And it's because he did this promotion with his mattress store, the mattress chain that he owns down Houston way, where you get like a complete refund on purchases of anything in the store during certain dates if the Astros win the World Series. So, you know, it's like people are pulling for the Astros, man, and they got a couple of Tempur-Pedics or whatever, and they think they're going to be scooping all those chips back if the Astros win, they get all their money back, but then Mattress Mac gets killed. Big businessmen like that rarely get killed. They may want you to think they got killed, but overall, they're coming out ahead somehow.
Well, it depends when he started the promotion, because that's how much time he's had to take your money and have it in some interest-bearing account before he has to give it back, just in case the Astros do win the World Series. But right now, I have the Astros pick two in the World Series.
Yep.
I think they just have a little more quality than the Braves, and they're going to be motivated to prove that they can win a World Series without the specter of Trash Can Gate hovering over their heads.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of prideful guys in that roster. And Also for Dusty Baker, I just think it's a neat story that Dusty has come back and settled down his squad and has got him back on track and has done, you know, has done things his way. He's one of the more interesting characters in the history of baseball. He played with Hank Aaron, so there's a Braves connection there. You know, longtime Dodgers outfielder, Giants manager, Cubs manager, Reds manager. You know, he's just almost been there and done it all. I remember last year, it was a year ago? Yeah, a year ago. Twins in the playoffs. They're playing Houston, you know, and then we're there for workout day. And I'm sitting in the press box. I'm looking down. And there's Dusty. It's about 50 degrees. He is standing behind the batting cage in street clothes with a parka on, watching his guys hit. And I'm like, why does he want to still manage? You know, I was like, why does he want to manage? Why does he want to manage? And obviously, he still gets a lot of joy out of what he's doing. The players like playing for him. If you're a pitcher for Dusty, you know where you come from. I'll tell you a quick story.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Kinsler was traded from the Twins to Washington when Dusty was a manager there. So Dusty calls Kinsler into his office. He goes, all right, Brandon, I want you to sit down. Because at the time, Dusty was taking heat for how he used bullpens, how he runs guys into the ground. He says, look, I got to get some things straight here, okay? There's some stuff out there about how I run bullpens and how I run guys into the ground and how I use them up. I just want to let you know everything that you've said or heard or read is exactly true. If you don't tell me that you need a day off, then I'm going to use you every day. If you get the job done, I'm going to keep having you the ball. So you're going to have to tell me when you need a day off.
Right, but it's weird because players, specifically the young ones, they don't want to go to Skip. They don't want to go to Skipper and be like, I'm tired. Well, great. Now you just went farther down in the bullpen hierarchy. You know, they worry about that. But then again, Dusty, as you mentioned, man, I mean, when he played with those Dodgers teams, are you kidding me? Steve Yeager, Ron Say, Steve Garvey, Davey Lopes, and so on. Mm-hmm. And the pitchers with Sutton, and they, I mean, they, you know, it was four-man rotation. So, I mean, he's used to working that thing down. He's used to watching it work down to the nub for the totality of the squad.
Yep.
And that, it ain't like that now, man.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But I will say this. Usually when you get in the World Series winning time, you've got a bunch of veterans in your bullpen. So they know their bodies. They know their arms. I know I could push myself here. I know I got one more pitch here. I better back off here. I mean, Max Scherzer, my arm's dead, guys. I can't start. You know,
right.
The horse of our generation can't go to the post.
Right.
You know, so I think in some situations you defer to the veterans and how their bodies are reacting.
You mentioned, well, with the Atlanta Braves in town, in the World Series against Houston. Mm-hmm. If we were to eliminate current Braves, and you and I play that baby game that we'll play every so often, where we go back and forth, can't use Max Fried, can't just no current Braves, you and I back and forth, ready?
Oh, no.
Greg Maddux. Well, I mean, let's get through immortality. Greg Maddux.
John Smoltz.
Steve Avery.
Tom Glavine.
Bob Horner.
Denny Nagel.
Chipper Jones.
Mark Lemke.
Hank Aaron.
Oh, whatever.
What are you talking about? Don't you see when he hit the home run, he's running around the bases, the Rubes are running onto the field at Fulton County?
All right, I see your Hank Aaron. I'll raise you a Sid Bream.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see your Sid Hartman. And raise it, how about Andrew Jones?
How about Jason Hayward?
Oh, Joe Torre.
David Justice.
Warren Spahn.
Warren Spahn!
He played for him, right?
Warren Spahn!
Warren Spahn was a brave man. I know he was.
Oh, my God.
Spahn insane and pray for rain.
God, I want to save this one for the end. Jeff Blauser.
Herman Long.
Herman Long? Are you sure this is a baseball player or a porn star?
game over.
Charlie Lee Brandt, I win.
He's wobbling it. We'll be back right after this.
The Fan, along with Paul Bunyan Plumbing and Drains, are trying to put a grand in your hand. All you got to do, text the keyword WIN to 200-200. Text the word WIN to 200-200. Might win $1,000. Text WIN to 200-200. Text messaging and
on the Fan.
Programming on the Fan brought to you in part by Quick Trip.
Wobble, wobble.
You let me hear on your way to paradise.
Winnersville.
You pull the rug right out from under my light.
Hey, get out of there.
I know where you go to. I knew when you came home last night.
And he's
Paul Allen.
Hey. So Wobble's in the bathroom. It started 5.5 minutes ago. When it ends, nobody knows. I think it is a covert, circuitous way to avoid the Chicago Bears conversation.
Yeah.
Of what transpired against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the pewter of immortality yesterday. But he also, you know, if he doesn't get back here quickly, he's also going to miss out on the other side of it, which was that of positivity. And he's wearing, there he is. Everything go okay? Got any shapes on the front of your pants in the shape of states?
Fortunately, the fan was on in the bathroom, so I knew when I needed to finish up.
Okay.
It worked out.
Did you get a little nervous?
No.
We thought you were avoiding the Bears conversation, which
I was in the ninth inning. The closer was in to finish the save.
Yep. No, I understand that. And everything came out cleanly, hopefully. But, you know, this is the positivity covenant before the harping on the negative. You're fighting Illini, though. The Penn State Nittany Lions were minus 4,100 to win $100 to win that game. You got to put up 4,100 of somebody else's money to get somebody else's 100.
Right.
Meanwhile, the flip, the comeback, because of the split in the middle to get equal action, you bet 100 on the Fighting Illini, you scoop $1,300.
Amazing.
So, I mean, that's how big of an underdog they were. It's 10-10 at the end of regulation. It sounds freaking miserable. We got no Millington. We got no Marcus Liberty. Kendall Gill is dunking on nobody. And the Fighting Illini in a record 9 overtimes pull an upset like that. You watched it with Millington. How excited were you guys?
I was pretty stunned. First of all, I forgot they changed the overtime rule. That after the second overtime, you go to the two-point conversion war.
Yeah.
Because there was a game a couple years ago, Texas A&M and Florida maybe. They won like 7 overtimes. Oh. And no, it was LSU and A&M.
Really?
Because Joe Burrow like collapsed of dehydration at the end of the game. And
wow.
Stuff. So they're like, we can't have this anymore.
You know? Yep.
So anyway, it was pretty thrilling. The thing was,
Texas A&M won that game with young Kellen.
Yes.
Who generated 7 touchdowns.
Yes.
Yeah, that was like the only good thing there was to say in these preseason simulcasts. So
exactly.
I said it like 5 times.
Yeah, exactly. I was just stunned about how Illinois was able to manhandle Penn State on both the offensive and defensive line. Our quarterback play is just awful. We don't have a quarterback. We just have a guy take a snap from center. They're trying to execute the offense.
Really?
Okay? So Brett Bielema went big. There were several times on Saturday where he had 7 linemen, 2 tight ends, 1 quarterback, and 1 running back.
Yeah, he must have watched PJ Fleck film. He does that all the time.
Lovey did it last 2 years ago when they beat Wisconsin at home. So they got big too. So ground and pound, baby, just did wonders for Illinois. They ran for 360 yards against Penn State's defense.
Yeah. I mean, there's a massive upset every week in the Big Ten, man.
I know.
I mean, PJ's favored by 4-plus touchdowns. L, Bowling Green.
I know.
The Boilers roll down to Kinnick. L for the home team. Then this.
It doesn't add up in the Big Ten. It doesn't.
It's just crazy.
But Clifford, Penn State's quarterback, he's playing hurt. He's got some hip thing going on. He kept grabbing it during the game.
Well, and they tried to run that Philly special, and the tight end's pass looked like a Necro knuckleball.
It did.
Yeah, it was awful.
He did. It looked like he came out of the palm of his hand and slid off his fingertips. You know? So you're watching this unfold, and I'm like, first of all, I can't believe Illinois is in this game. And then you get to the two-point conversion bit.
Yeah.
Illinois has been running the ball down their throat, but now they don't want to run.
Mm.
You know, so you start these crazy pass plays. They tried to double reverse. They tried the flea flicker, you know, and none of it's working.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, this is just a war of attrition. But then finally, the starting quarterback who stinks for Illinois, Art Stokowski.
Yep.
He got injured, so he had to come out of the game. And Brandon Peters, who began the season as the Bears quarterback, throws the 2-point conversion pass to Casey Washington in the back of the end zone.
And he cried.
Well, Casey Washington is a less than mediocre receiver who hit the transfer portal last year, committed to go to Wake Forest, and then backed out of it and returned to Illinois.
I have a surprise for you, and I think you're going to deem it a tree. You ready?
Okay, what's going on?
3-2.
Snap Rodgers, backpedals, lofts it right side, end zone, and he's got Tonyan! Over the shoulder catch, touchdown, and he spikes the end zone with the football.
He spikes the end zone with the football.
WTMJ, Packers Radio Network.
The Head Cheese.
Cinny, border battle. I got Wobble in here. 3/4 of the NFC North, but really the only 3/4 that matters. How are you doing?
Great, boys. How's it going?
Hey, the Lions were more competitive than the Bears yesterday.
I thought Heinicke was giving you a problem there for a minute, but then as the totality of the game goes, the juicy one, the cream's going to rise to the top. You see it that way?
Yeah. He made some nice plays. You know, he grew up dreaming about playing at Lambeau. You know, his dad was a big Packer fan, so it was a big day for him. And he was scrambling early, and that's been a problem for Green Bay's defense. He ended up rushing for 95 yards, which makes me worry a bit what Kyler Murray might do Thursday night. But pass rush really picked up in the second half. Rashawn Gary's becoming a big problem, and those guys took over. But, yeah, they were plucky for the first half. They got a legit front four, makes it tough to run the ball, made things a bit difficult. But the Packers made enough plays.
Why is Rashawn Gary a problem other than running into his own player and almost costing him his season?
He's got like 18 quarterback pressures the last 2 weeks. He's in the backfield, it seems, almost every play.
Yeah.
Packers really counting on him with both Smiths out of the picture right now. Hey. And he's really stepped up. And, you know, I was not a fan when they drafted him at all based on his production at Michigan. But I'm ready to say I whiffed on that one. He is going to be a star in this league.
Oh, my God. Are you out of your mind?
Okay. He works really hard day in, day out.
That's great.
Yeah,
man.
He is going to be a star in this league, PA.
Right. I have to adjust myself here. Wobble wants to start. He's playing for one reason, because two guys in front of him are out. That's the only reason he's playing.
That's not true at all. No, that's not true at all.
Okay, so, I mean, which of the 2.5 sacks this year puts him on the next Reggie White?
I didn't say he was the next Reggie White. I say he is going to be a star in this league.
He made a sign. He was in the backfield all day long.
He gets pressure. He gets pressure on the quarterback more often than most players in this league. He is a problem. Mm-hmm. Stats will come, and they've come the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what I watch, guys. I was not a believer in him, but you watch him week in, week out, he will be a star in this league.
You watch his work against the run?
Yeah, he's fine. Okay. They didn't run against the pack yesterday other than the quarterback.
Cool. Wobble, you got a question for the Sultan of Smug?
Yeah, two things. How much run are you guys expecting to get out of Whitney Merciless, my former Illini guy who you guys signed last week? And two,
you got Whitney Merciless?
Yeah. And two, your defensive coordinator is on the COVID list. So how's that going to play for Thursday?
Yeah, so is Matt Nagy. That might be a boon for your team if he's not going to be out there on Sunday. Whitney Merciless got 31 snaps on Sunday. Again, both Smiths out, need pass rush help opposite Gary, so teams can't just concentrate on the star to be. He didn't fill out the stat sheet yesterday, but he was noticeable. I think he still got something left because, you know, he's back playing outside linebacker.
Yeah.
The Texans moved him to defensive end, put his hand in the ground. That's not his bit. So that was a nice signing. So was Rasul Douglas, who was PFF's top-graded defensive player for Green Bay yesterday as a standing cornerback. So they're finding some pieces with four starters out. They're trying to
just reloading, I guess, huh?
They finally got some red zone stops yesterday, which they hadn't done all season.
What really impressed me, getting a chance to hone in on your squad. It's, you know, for you can start with Reggie White, with Rashawn Gary. I'd like to start with Aaron Campman, but We'll
get a nice little run.
We'll go ahead and watch this whole thing develop, but nevertheless, with backup center guy in, and his name's eluding me, but it doesn't matter, major offensive problems early in the game for the juicy one, but they adjusted and they fixed it, and they got around it, and that's just what makes him so good. He He fixes problems that even are not, they're not even his problems. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they are deep on the offensive line, which is great, but they were getting getting their lunch handed to them early, and Rodgers got sacked two or three times in the first quarter and a half, and they fixed that. And Lucas Patrick had a really good game last week, but you got Jonathan Allen the other side of the ball. That kid can ball, and Patrick had a rough day, especially in the first half. But, you know, only two linemen starting in their preferred spots yesterday for Green Bay, and that should change here in the next week or two with Bakhtiari coming back, Jenkins moving to left guard, and Josh Myers should be back after this three-game IR bid. So, yeah, they're just trying to make things work during these injury moments, and MVS should be back in a week or two. Not really worried about the offense. It's, you know, you want the defense to continue to play, and the quarterbacks Green Bay has to face the next five games are nothing like what they faced so far. So we'll see what this defense
does. What's your prediction for the record the next five games? Cardinals, Chiefs, Seahawks, Vikings, Rams.
Correct.
That's a grinder.
Yeah, those are some good quarterbacks.
Wobble wants a record prediction. Didn't even say if the games are at home or on the road.
I'll say no worse than 3-2 is what I expect. Three of them are on the road. These next two, Arizona, Kansas City, and then Minnesota. So you got to win one of those three road games and win your two home games. If they're 3-2 and they're 9-3 at the bye with a much easier slate the last five, I think we'll be right where they want to be.
Chiefs and Seahawks are very beatable right now. You may catch him at
the right time. Wilson might be back. That's the first game Wilson's eligible to return. So we might get Russell Wilson, but he's never won at Lambeau.
He doesn't play defense either.
I think you're going to win on Thursday. I think it's going to be a little higher scoring, but I think you guys are going to win. I have a right to change that opinion. I'm just kind of feeling it that way. There is a mean regression that will take place with these Cardinals. May not be precipitous, but it's going to happen. And might start on Thursday. What do you think?
They did not look good yesterday at all. It took them a while to sort of take control of that game against the Texans. And maybe it's a look-ahead spot, knowing they got a big Thursday night game. But Murray got knocked around pretty good last night.
Yes, he did.
He was a little wobbly. So, yeah, I think there's a chance for the Pack. Not having defensive coordinator Joe Barry, that doesn't help. And, again, I don't know how many of these injured guys are going to be back Thursday. But Arizona's going to lose a game, and they should have lost to you guys. Whether Green Bay can get it done, I don't know. But I think it's going to be a juicy game. And we've had some really weird games with Arizona, playoffs, regular season. So just expect something strange to happen.
Later, brother. Have a good day.
All right, boys. Take it easy.
TheHeadCheese.com. If you want to read about the Juicy Squad, at TC Head Cheese via Twitter, Lavelle Neal III at Lavelle Neal, columnist, Star Tribune, weekly, 9 to noon. And later in the week, Bumper to Bumper with Barrero. In Deep Stretch, Kaprizov, and the wonderful column that dropped in the Star Tribune Saturday for those who get the advance, but Sunday is when I saw it. And the team only has one loss. Kaprizov, as you kind of alluded to, not as much statistical here. It's obvious productivity as you see, like when you look at stats. Like, I mean, seeing Rashawn Gary, seeing Reggie White, you know, maybe you say, I don't see it. But that's a conversation for another day. With Kaprizov, man, you know, some of the people talking about him and the attention he gets and everything, I think the way you put it was best draft pick in the history of Minnesota Wild hockey, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's him and Gabrick at the top two spots. And yeah. I'm looking at a guy like Kaprizov. He's got hands, he's got vision, he has flair. Okay, he was on a 40-goal scoring pace last year if it was an 82-game season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know he doesn't have a goal yet now, but I'm guessing when he starts scoring goals, he's not going to stop. So I could see another 40, 45 goal season from him. Maybe if he gets really hot, could it be 50? I don't know. He's got five assists already through the first five games.
Yep.
You know, they haven't had a 50 assist guy since Pierre-Marc Bouchard. You know, so there's some top shelf production that this guy can. That has it in his body here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun to watch this unfold. The whole impetus for the column was, you know, I see all these guys come up at 19, the Austin Meadows, the Connor McDavids, the Patrick
Austin
Kane's,
Matthews.
I'm sorry.
Meadows
Matt.
Is
I don't
the
know,
race.
The baseball player. The
yeah, for the race.
For the race. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Gabrick was 18 when he broke into the league. Kaner was like 18 or 19 when he broke into the league. You
John
know?
Tavares.
Yeah. These guys come up and they produce. All of a sudden, they get in their early 20s and they blow up. Mm-hmm. Well, has Kaprizov already blown up because he's 23 now? Or there's an upside? And that's why I call Pat Micheletti, because Mick has pointed, His point is there's a learning curve every type of league you get in.
So you called Mick before he got bit.
Yeah, he sounded 1,000% better than he did on your show today.
Okay.
When I was driving over here, I was like, oh, my God.
When I texted him saying, hey, can you come in, man? Let's start that weekly piece. I love having him in weekly. He's like, I got bit. I'm like, okay, God bless. And then he's like, but I can do phone. I'm like, really? All right, well, let's see how far this goes, man, because let's spend a segment talking about, you know, getting bit and what it feels like for you. And then let's mix in some puck and talk it, add a little pop to his voice. Yeah.
So he was like, you know, there's levels of leagues, and there's a learning curve for each level you get to. And the KHL ain't the NHL. You know, now Kaprizov's in the NHL. He's learning the ways of the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a learning curve where he finds out where he can get a swerve on, you know. And so I think we're going to witness that this year in the next couple of years with him. So it could be pretty exciting to watch all this talent come out of one kid.
You might want to get out to Target Center one of these days, check out these undefeated Wolves shutting down B.I. tonight.
I may go out there tonight.
I'm about ready to shut down B.I.
I need to pick up my season media pass anyway, so I may get down there tonight.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure it out. If I try to make it work, we'll see.
I appreciate you, ma'am. Bless you. Thank you very much for joining. Wonderful column on the Russian kid. And we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, man. Take it easy.
Lavelle E. Neal III. Man, that's a 23-year card-carrying member of the Love Covenant. At Lavelle Neal via Twitter. JG in the final segment when 9 to noon continues.
Into the Fan.
I can't wait until tomorrow. Because tomorrow might very well be too late.
JG.
I can't wait until tomorrow.
Football feast.
Because tomorrow could never come.
Hey. Hi, JG. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on? Good bye week for everybody?
Yep. Who do you think runs more, PJ Fleck or me from my past?
I think PJ wants to run more, but I think you have quite a past. So I think it's a toss-up coming down the stretch, I would say.
That time of possession thing, I mean, I know it's important to him, but you go 37.5 to 23.5. What'd they run consecutively? 23 times? 26? What was it?
Yeah, to finish the game, I think it was 23. And the funniest part was I talked to Connor Olson on the field. A lot of times after the Gophers win, we'll grab a player on the field just for like a quick, you know, 2-minute little bit. And before they sing the alma mater and before they go into the locker room or whatever. And Connor Olson was completely out of breath when I was talking to him. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm just exhausted. It's like, well, you ran 23 straight times. Yeah, you never even got to. You were mashing, so I get it. You started 52 consecutive games. You're probably pretty tired, but you just put up 320 on the ground. So yeah, we'll just wrap it up here and let you go enjoy the win, Connor. Thanks for taking the time.
You think anybody's ever gone up to the Maryland quarterback and saying, "Hey, nice job. Sorry it didn't go your way. By the way, can I get your brother's number for a podcast?"
Probably. I bet he hears about it a lot, and he's a good player in his own right. You feel for him. He's got not a lot of help at the moment. And there were multiple times where he threw a good pass, his receiver dropped it, and both hands went on his head. Like, I can't believe this is happening again. Because this is the third week in a row that they've basically gotten routed. Iowa, Ohio State, and the Gophers on Saturday. But, yeah, he's a nice player. He's a problem. But the Gophers did a good job with him on Saturday.
What do you think of this tricky Northwestern squad? I mean, they just won't establish identity. It's loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. If you look at that pattern then they're supposed to win this weekend. I wonder if they will.
Well, they're extremely young, and like Northwestern, two of the last 3 years has won the West Division, which is incredible. Given the teams, you know, like Wisconsin and Iowa, they kind of have been the standard here the last few years. But I think with this particular Northwestern team, and Bernsey would know this much better than me, they are they're kind of starting over. They lost a lot on both sides after last year's West Championship team. And when you're at a place like Northwestern, if you're starting over, there might be some growing pains. You're going to be really young. You're not just like Ohio State starting over, for example, where you just plug in a 5-star. And yeah. I think that's kind of the deal with Northwestern. But we know I'm sure PJ said the same thing to you. It's going to be the cliche. They're well coached. They play hard. They don't make mistakes. You have to beat them type of deal. because that's what people say about Northwestern every single year. But it does seem like they are maybe a little bit too young at the moment, which everybody knew going in that was going to be how the season was going to go for them. It was they were going to be starting over. They're talented. They've recruited better the last handful of years off those West championships. But youth is youth, and I think that's having not done a deep dive on them yet, I think that's what they're dealing with now.
Tanner threw 12 times, and that's okay because of the way they won the game. But, like, say at Kinnick, you know, or when you play Wisconsin or whomever, and this thing opens up a little bit, how capable is he for them to let him spread his wings and try to win the game with his arm if they have to?
Well, that's what they're going to have to do against Iowa and Wisconsin. And you saw them do that, especially in the first half against Nebraska. They came out throwing. And Tanner, I think, at one point completed 16 consecutive passes. I think they would have done that against Maryland, but the last 3 years, PA, against Maryland, they've run the ball basically over 6 yards of carry. 6 yards of carry 2019, 5-8, I think, 2020, and yesterday or Saturday, you know, over 300 yards rushing. I don't have the yards per carry deal off the top of my head, but they know they have to throw the ball more. Without question, they're not going to line up and just beat Iowa running the ball. They're not going to rush for 330 yards against them. I'd be stunned. Same thing against Wisconsin. But against Maryland, it was pretty obvious. You know, once PJ figures out that they don't have to throw it, he doesn't want to throw it. That's just who he is. That's just how he rolls. And they were crushing him on the ground on Saturday, so they just kept doing it.
Justin Gard at JGKFAN via Twitter, sideline analyst, Golden Gophers football, 2:30, us and Northwestern on the road this weekend. I'm Saturday at 2:30. I'm looking at your Twitter. What happened to either Rochelle Olson or you previously in a concourse at U.S. Bank Stadium? Concourses are a mess. What the hell happened last night?
Oh, I wasn't there for Rolling Stones, but I've been there before at the beautiful U.S. Bank Stadium. Love it. It's spectacular. Concourses are a disaster. Sorry. They're very narrow. They're very tall. I'm trying to remember which members of the Vikings brass I saw at the Final Four, and he was making fun of me for my criticizing the concourses. It was all in good spirit. But apparently, from what I was told last night, too, a lot of people are having trouble with the cashless experience now in COVID, like how nobody takes cash anymore. It's all got to be done virtually.
Yeah.
I think that apparently was creating some log jams and creating some lines. It's wonderful to go into the Sid Hartman press box media entrance and go right up to the Vox box.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little more challenging, but it's all right. When you go someplace with 60,000 people, you're going to have to wait a little bit. You're going to take some L's, but, I don't know what got into me in particular, but I just wanted to, just wanted to reiterate that it's a beautiful stadium and the concourses are kind of a mess.
I know you got three little ones running around, so I probably know the answer to this question. However, when's the last time you and your wife went for a Sunday drive to look at leaves?
Man, that's a great question.
Oh, my God.
Jackson was born August 29th, 2014.
The last time I did it, I took a barf bag.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's been a while.
Well, I'm looking looking at your Twitter, Sip Choggins. You know, he's going to be 50, elite columnist for the Star Tribune. I turn Chip Scoggins. All right. Old school, best school. Love Chip. And I look forward to the opportunity each Vikings game at home to chat with him because he's cool. I turned 50 this week, and my wife and I went for a Sunday drive this morning to look at leaves. I look forward to having dinner at 4 p.m. Oh, my God. Who wrote that tweet? Mr. Rogers?
I know. Tomorrow, when Bernsie and I record episode 9 of Parent of Spare, the Parent of Spare podcast, which you can listen to on wherever you get your podcast, I don't even think we'll talk Gophers. I think we'll just get right into that tweet and dissect it because that was troubling.
Yeah.
It was damaging. And I'm not quite there yet. But I think I can see it around the path.
Yeah.
I can see it around the path. And Chip's got a couple of kids in college now, so that's kind of how he rolls. You know that grind. You know how that works. You find ways to fill your day, and apparently looking at the foliage is what the Scoggins family wants to do.
Well, what's most damaging and you know, FIAA, Fairness and Announcer Act, I'm not married. However, for married men, you know, listen, the men or women listening right now are going to be like, honey, how come we never go on drives to look at foliage? Why do we never go look at leaves? I mean, big time columnist guy does it and he writes about it. So, Yeah, that's bad for business right there, man. I feel bad for all of you. In closing...
Well, about a month ago, Meat Sauce tweeted out, what's the best recommendation for an apple orchard? And I retweeted it and said, tell me you're in a serious relationship without telling me you're in a serious relationship.
Lastly, 45 seconds, you get it all. So you fly into Chicago, games in Evanston. Do you get any cool Chicago time on this trip?
Not really. We have in the past, if there's clients or boosters, we stayed on the Miracle Mile a couple of times. But I think the way it's going to roll this Friday night for the Gopher Radio Network crew, I got to firm it up. But Ron Coomer has offered to pick us up and take us to Coom's Corner Restaurant, one of the northern suburbs of Chicago. So I'm hoping that gets done. That was on the books like 2 months ago. So I'm hoping we get some good Coom Dog time in Chicago on Friday night.
And in closing, God rest the soul of...
CA, I love you and everything else, but you are not our personnel director.
Philip Flip Saunders.
Tell those damn guys from KFAN, I don't want to hear any more from those guys.
Anniversary of his death today, as I just saw on Johnny Krasinski's Twitter. I know he and Dan and you and Flip were very close, so I'm sure either will be an ode of all odes today, beginning at 3 with Bumper to Bumper, or it certainly will be mentioned.
Yeah, and Johnny's actually in studio today at 4 o'clock. I mean, you mentioned the leaves and the fall foliage. The first thing that hit me, and I knew it was the anniversary, was that I learned about Flip's death during the Vikings game, listening to you guys at a pumpkin patch with my, I guess, one-year-old kid. So it hits me every time in the fall, for sure. Like, it hits a lot of people, because it's still amazing that he's gone. Still, it's tragic that he's gone.
Amen. I appreciate you. I'll be listening today. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Pia.
JG, it's Paul Allen from the 651 Carpet Studio. Ack-ack-a-dack, give the program a whack. It's around the corner. And Mad Producer's here to put a wrap on the show.
And thanks to Metropolitan Ford, who sponsors the 9 to noon show wraps. Metropolitan Ford is your truck superstore.
Entertain me.
This time of year, it gets scary. Watch out for creepy crawlers. They're icky and hairy. Seneca dressing up as a heavier version of Common's Case Fairy after his opinion on Rashawn Gary. But hey, thanks to Lavelle, he does it all. 3 minutes into the segment, he's still in the bathroom stall. Stacking accomplishments, tippy toes, it's tall. But he'll rarely answer the phone when you actually try to call. But hey, when I chat with Pat Micheletti, it's like a party, we're dropping all the confetti. I'm disappointed when I heard he was bitten by the bug. But he's had more shots go in than Jalen Suggs. Total of 3, Vikings losses and wins. Was the bye long enough to cleanse our football-loving sins? Halloween night at the bank, where'd you rather be? Easy answer, well, unless you're Stephen Weatherly.
Tell those damn guys from KFAN, I don't want to hear any more
podcast Today's Paul Allen Show, or listen back to previous show and interviews by going to the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.